Keith Martin, Pride Radio.
What I wanted to do was just to go back a little bit, and then we'll talk about the current tour. Can I ask you, first of all, then, Mary, your inspiration and your age when you started singing with the Primes of the Primettes? Who inspired you as a youngster?
Well, you know, that was the early days of rock and roll, and a lot of the artists like the Platters, the Coasters, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, you know, all those people were my inspiration. And you know, just rock and roll was still new, and that's what I grew up listening to in the 50s.
In the 1950s, and of course, in the early days, you were part of the Primes or the Primettes.
Yes, well, you know, that happened when we were in elementary school, and the guys, the Primes, were three guys comprised of Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams, who, you know, went on to become the Temptations. And so they and their manager wanted to have a package to take around to the places to sing, so they wanted to put together a girl group. And Florence just happened to have known them. She knew me, and someone else knew Diane, and someone else knew Betty. And that's how the Primettes were born.
And obviously, you introduced Diana Ross to the group, is that right?
Well, no, I didn't. I don't know where people got that one from. But it was that she lived right across the street from me. And I had seen her, you know, singing around the neighborhood. But I didn't really know her that well. Actually, I think it was Paul Williams of the Temptations who brought her in.
Right.
Who recommended her. Mm-hmm. But she did live right across the street from me, so that's how I knew her.
Okay. Well, when you formed the group itself, from the Primes, the Primettes, and then became the Supremes, the name the Supremes was chosen by Berry Gordy, is that right?
No.
Oh,
no.
Right.
No.
Okay, tell me more.
Florence Ballard chose the name Supreme for certain. In fact, Diana and I and Barbara Martin, who was in the group, did not like the name at all. We hated it. But what happened was we had to sign our recording contract that day, and Florence was the only one who came in with the name. So Berry Gordy said, well, that's it. That's what you guys choose. And so we had to go for it because that was what Florence had, you know, brought up, and we had to sign the contract that day.
So the actual name was chosen by Florence Ballard then?
Oh, yes. She was definitely the one who chose it.
Wow, that's interesting.
The
review shows in the UK in the 1960s, the mid-1960s, they called it the Ghost Tour. What was that like?
Well, it was actually, officially it was called the Motown Review.
Yeah.
But we named it the Ghost Tour because no one showed up. I mean, here we were touring the UK for the first time, most of us, and you know, hitting all these great places, and no one came to see us. It wasn't until Dusty Springfield told the people at the TV show Ready, Steady, Go about us, and they showed that, we filmed it, right? Ready, Steady, Go.
Yeah.
And they didn't show it until after the tour was over.
Right.
And so then, of course, everybody was, like, interested in the tour. But we hung out with Georgie Fame, and we stayed at the palace of Lord and Lady Londonderry. On the show was the Miracles, the Temptations, I think Stevie Wonder, Supremes, the Vandellas. And we had a great time, but nobody came to see us.
Well, I know
that
I was talking...
1965.
Yeah, I was talking to Martha Reeves about this, and she said that at the time people didn't realize how much of an ambassador for Motown and soul music that Dusty Springfield was.
Yes. Well, she was. She was, like I said, she was the one who definitely got us the television special that, what was it, Ready, Steady, Go, the Motown Review on there. So she definitely was an ambassador for the Motown sound.
Okay. And also at that time, with the Motown Review and those shows, with Ready, Steady, Go being broadcast after the Motown show, so you'd gone back to the United States then,
yes.
Not realizing that Ready, Steady, Go had created an opening for Motown.
Well, yeah, I mean it really did. I mean, that was like the beginning of all of us becoming really major, major stars, even though the Supremes, I think we had the first hit record over there before that tour. So we were the only ones that people really, really, you know, had heard a lot of at that time.
Right. Well, the stage presence and the choreography, the routines and the clothing, which we'll talk about later on, the gowns and the outfits and things. Who decided on the... I know you saw a lady who taught you how to act like ladies as well. I can't remember her name right now. You'll probably remind me. Sorry, what was her name?
That was Maxine Powell.
Maxine Powell, that's right.
Here's what happened. We at Motown, we had a department called Artist Development. And within that department, we had people to train us in terms of music. We had Maurice King, who was in charge of all the music. He did our harmonies and things of that nature. He wrote all the patter that we did in between songs and that type of thing. Then we had Charlie Atkins, who did all of the choreography. He taught all the groups various choreography to all the records. And, of course, Mrs. Maxine Powell, who taught us. She was a finishing school instructor. And so she taught us the various, things of that has to do with finishing school.
I see. So with regards to all the stage presence and the outfits and the choreography and things like that, you all worked together and made sure that, you were all working in a unity. What about working with the likes of Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Smokey? You were all, at that time, young people who were just getting together for the very first time. What was that like?
Oh, gosh. I mean, absolutely fantastic. First of all, I remember being there at the studio when Mr. Gordy said that Ronnie White or the Miracles was going to bring by this little boy who was a genius. And at the time, we didn't know what a genius was. a genius? Well, what does a genius look like? Anyway, so here comes Stevie Wonder running into the studio. He was only like 9, and he was, he was totally blind. And he ran all over the studio. He played all the instruments there, the organ, the guitar, the drums. He would just jump on everything and start playing. And so we finally told Mr. Gordy, now we know what a genius is. a little kid running around playing all the instruments. But he was just a wonderful, wonderful little guy who, grew up to be such a tremendous talent and definitely is one of the geniuses of the music world.
And I suppose when you've seen him from such a young age and watched him grow and aspire to what he has achieved now, that must be something special for you personally as well.
Oh, I mean, it's so great because, he was really responsible for getting the Martin Luther King's birthday, put on the calendar. I mean, just a magnificent mind, that he is, and still a huge talent, and he's inspiring young people today, with his music. So it's just great to have been around all those wonderful human beings.
Yeah. While we're talking about youngsters coming into Motown, Michael Jackson, of course, the Jackson 5 in the late 1960s, I think it was I Want You Back, 69. Did you see Michael as a youngster as well?
Oh, sure. Michael, well, not just Michael, the Jackson 5 opened for us. And we sort of introduced them to the world.
Yeah.
In terms of our television shows, they did lots of shows with us, and that introduced them to a wider audience.
Yeah.
And then later on, Diane actually introduced him as her, protege.
Yeah.
And so, we had a lot to do with exposing them to the world, and they were wonderful guys.
Yeah.
I should say they are wonderful guys. And my son, Diane's brother, and Michael were the younger ones, so they all played up and grew up together.
Right.
And I remember every time I would see Michael say, I went to the World Music Awards, and after we took all his pictures and everything, he came over to me and he says, Mary, how is Willie? And Willie is my, my adopted son that he used to play with. So I always said, well, I know this is Michael because he would be the only one who remembered, those times with my son. He was a wonderful little guy. He was just a wonderful guy. I think the world really misunderstood him.
Yeah, I think you're right. Do you think that at such an early age, did you see that he had the presence to be a front man?
Well, of course. I mean, sure. Because for such a young age, he was able to deliver these lyrics as if he was an old soul. In fact, Smokey Robinson has said many times, he says, you know, to hear Michael sing his songs that he had written, that Smokey had written, you know, was amazing, because he was this little kid singing his songs as if, you know, he knew what he was singing about at
right.
that young age.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people always forget about the fact that the band were there, the Funk Brothers. You know, it's only in the last 20 years that people have realised who the Funk Brothers were. They, of course, with the vocals of yourselves and other artists, were the sound of Motown. Did you realise you were creating a commercial sound that would last for 50 years, or did you think you were just creating good dance floor records back then?
Well, you know, I know we have to give Mr. Berry Gordy and all of the musicians and the producers and the writers of all that great, we got to give them so much credit, because even though we the artists were singing them,
yeah.
it was those people who created that
yeah.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And Berry Gordy said from the very beginning, I want music that's going to cross the boards where everyone can enjoy it. And, you know, he was able to do that with the help of all of these great musicians and writers and singers. You know, the combination, the collaboration of everyone really helped to bring his dream to fruition. And it's just, you know, it was them. It was the Funk Brothers played on every single recording that was made there. So they were just as big as we were, but no one knew them.
Yeah.
And that was kind of unfortunate. But, you know, now in the very end there, they finally have gotten some recognition, and it's good. And it's really, you know, it's a great thing.
It is. It is. You know, the fact that the 50th anniversary last year, you know, people started to talk about it in such a very mm-hmm. positive way, which was, you know, as you say, they rightly deserved that. Were you allowed to get involved with any of the finished products, the packaging of any of the singles?
Oh, no. The one thing about Motown is that, you know, they really had a lot of different collaborators, and the artists did not necessarily have to be involved in a lot of things, because they had creative people there doing it all.
Yeah.
And we could trust what they were, you know, what they were doing. And, you know, they did a great job.
So it was all the part of a great team that were working together to unite to make
yes.
Motown a success.
Yeah. And
yeah.
there was many, many, many people doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how did the new tour evolve? Come into the new tour, the tour that's taking place next year? Because in 2009, I saw you with Junior Walker's All-Stars, the Miracles, the Commodores, and the Martha Reeves show when you
yes,
toured. That
yes.
was a great show. This is only a couple of years on, and you're back on the road again, this time with the Shy Lights. How's that evolved?
Yeah. Well, you know, the same producers, produced asked me if I would like to come back. They were so happy with me, my part of the show, because I only did a couple of songs. They said, we really like you. We would like to bring you back. Would you be interested in doing your own show? And I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they called my management earlier this year and said, we're thinking of putting a tour together, and we'd like to have Mary front it. And so I'm like, yes, because my fans, when I say my fans, I should say the Supreme fans,
yeah.
Have all often asked me to come over because, you know, there's so many other groups calling themselves Supremes, you know, and all that kind of stuff, that they said that they want to see me over there. And so here I am. I'm coming.
And we're looking forward to it. Now, you were here as well in 2009, as we said, for the concert with the artists we've just mentioned, but also for a very special exhibition of the outfits. That must have been very special for you as well, seeing those clothes you'd worn on stage and seeing people coming to actually come and embrace that and, you know, see that display.
Yes, well, I held on to the gown after all the girls left. I held onto the gowns, and, you know, eventually the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum helped me to curate them, and we sent them on the road, let them tour. They went, I think, about six different cities there in the U.K.,
yeah.
Starting at the Victoria and Albert Museum, and they went to Bath, and they went to Blackpool. I mean, it was all over the place.
Yeah, it's been very, very popular.
People love them. Yeah, people loved it, and I came over to every opening. I came to every opening of the gown exhibit, so I was able to, you know, see the response and feel the love that people had. Men and women came to see it. It was just great.
I think there's so many things that people see within Motown Records. You know, the fact that they celebrated their 50th anniversary last year, we've said that. And I think that people embrace the music more and more. With Stepping Out as a show that looks back over the whole soul period, Philadelphia International, different artists, some of the club music from the 80s, and particular Motown and the records that came from the label. And the thing I see is you're introduced to new records as well, even though they are maybe 30 or 40 years old, some great music.
It's wonderful music. It really is. I mean, Motown, I mean, I just applaud the producers and the writers and Berry Gordy because they really did put out some great music. It has lasted, as you say, close to 50 years, a lot of these songs, and they still sound as if they are new. Some of the sound, oldest recordings sound dated, but not the Motown sound. It still has a really fresh sound to it, which is great.
It was said, actually, that Paul McCartney was inspired by Motown as well because he liked the sound of the tambourine being at the front rather than at the back, and he thought that was a great inspiration for the Beatles to use on some albums.
Yes, I think that Motown really inspired a lot of people, and it's very and still are. They still are, even the hip-hoppers and the rappers are using, you know, that music for their music. So, hey, I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah,
to have been a part of it. I'm bringing over my show, and I want to see all of our, you know, our fans. I get emails from people. I mean, I know them by their name. I know them by their faces. I've known them for like 40, 50 years. These people.
Yeah.
And they still come to the shows, and it's just it's a wonderful feeling to know you're part of people's lives. And that you've helped them live their life, and they've helped you live your life because you're making money by it. You know, so we're all profiting in a wonderful way.
Well, I can imagine that that's rather special for you personally as well. But when you think of artists like, for instance, Gladys Knight recorded at Motown, Kiki D recorded at Motown, a lot of people weren't aware of that. And when you listen to the songs that were performed, they're great records. Some of them weren't released as singles, but they're still very iconic in their own way.
Yes, exactly. And that's why, because everything can't be a hit, you know what I mean?
No,
but
that's
it doesn't
true.
Mean it's not good music because it's not a hit.
Yeah.
It just means that maybe the marketing wasn't there or something.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, Eddie Murphy recorded at Motown. Lots of people recorded at Motown.
Yeah.
Motown also did something on Martin Luther King. I mean, it's just wonderful, all the things that they've done.
Well, coming back to the tour next year, are you and the Charlottes doing any studio work together?
No. This actually is the first time I'm really working with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, you know, a pleasure for me as well to be with them, because normally I'm with, you know, the Motown artists or by myself, really.
Right. What are we going to expect from the show? What have you got planned, Mary?
I'm sorry, but now the noise is getting really loud.
Yeah, okay. I can hear that, That's okay.
So now you said... you said what now?
What have you got planned for the show? What are you bringing to the party?
Well, I mean, it just, you know, the Supreme songs. So I'm of course, Got in the Name of Love and Baby Love.
Yeah.
You Can't Hurry Love. You Keep Me Hanging On. Love Child.
All the big favorites.
I'm doing all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just going to come and have a party, really, aren't you? Just enjoy yourself with a whole bunch of friends and the Shylights. You know, as a special guest artist as well, you know, the Shylights, you must be very pleased to have them involved.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they're out of Detroit, so, I mean, it's still Motown, you know what I mean? It's not the Motown Records, but it's still Motown, the city.
Yeah.
And, I'm very pleased, so I can't wait. I can't wait to be there.
What sort of music do you listen to now yourself?
Well, I'm a jazz person. In fact, I have a jazz show that I say jazz, but it's really standard ballads.
Yeah,
you know, that type of thing. And, in fact, I just did the show here in L.A., and it was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to jazz. I grew up listening to jazz in Detroit, and that's my favorite kind of music. I mean, I do things like Body and Soul, you know, and Spring Is Here. I do all those different kind of songs.
Right.
And it's a totally different part of me than what you'll be seeing in the U.K.,
Yeah.
So I might have to find a you know, like, what is that, Ronnie Scott or something, to my jazz show next time.
Yeah, so a more intimate event, but still an enjoyable show. Did you like the sort of the sound, the Rat Pack sort of thing then back in the 50s as well? The you know, with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, sure.
Was that special for you?
Oh, that's my thing. I sing all of that kind of music. That's exactly
okay.
what I sing.
Right.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm very versatile.
Yeah.
What they say, Jack of all trades and master of none. But anyway, I don't know about
that.
Hey. I love being on stage. I love performing. I'm in the best career. I mean, I'm so blessed that I'm in this career. I can't begin to tell you
how
happy I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's so nice to hear that somebody is still enjoying performing. But if that's what you do, that's what you do, and you just can't think of anything else. You know, by being up on stage, that's when you're at your best and you're happiest, isn't it?
Yes, I'm in heaven. Well, I am. When I'm on stage, I'm in heaven. And I think most of the artists I know feel the same way.
Yeah, and I think a lot of artists, we were saying about sort of music being influenced into different artists. I suppose, really, with today's charts as well, you're looking at a lot of influence from songs back then, but also other artists coming through. I know in America there's a lady called Sharon Jones with the Dap Kings, very influenced by the 60s soul and R&B sound.
You know what I think, you know what it is that the fans have played that music in the household for so many years that's what they grew up with, and so they love it, they enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and emulate it, you know, really.
Is there anybody now or in the past that you wish you'd worked with that, you know, sort of hadn't had the opportunity, or maybe a song that you would like to have recorded?
Oh, there's so many people. I mean, Santana has a whole new album coming out of old guitar greats. And he has a lot of different people singing with him on his CD. I would love to sing it with him.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people. Tom Jones. and if Luther Vandross has still been alive, I'd love to perform with him. He was one of our biggest fans, actually.
Luther is very special.
He loved the Supremes.
Yeah. Did you ever...
But there's not...
Did you meet Luther?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, did you meet Luther? Have you worked with him?
Oh, yeah. Worked with him, met him, and he was a lovely guy. He would take me out to dinner all the time because he loved to eat.
Right.
So he would always take you out to eat.
So talented, Luther Vandross as well. George Benson, of course, on the same sort of, the same time, a period when they were both successful. Luther's music, actually... we were looking at something the other week, a 1977 album called Bionic Boogie with Greg Diamond is about to be reissued again. So Luther's going to be introduced in a different light to people, because a lot of people think, I would imagine, that they know all the Luther Vandross songs that are out there. So,
Who is the guy that they're releasing it again, so I can look out for it?
Well, it's
Luther and who?
It's Greg Diamond from Bionic Boogie, 1977.
1977, okay, Greg. Okay,
because he was working with David Bowie, I think, on his tour at the time.
Oh, okay. I'll keep my ears open for it.
All right. Can I ask you, do you have a favorite three songs of all time or a favorite song of all time?
Let's see. Obviously, something of the Four Tops has got to be one, and that would be Bernadette.
Right. Can you tell me why?
I love that one. Pardon?
Can you tell me why?
I don't know. My name is not Bernadette, so I don't know.
I just
think it's a fabulous recording, and everyone waits for that. Bernadette! So that's one, and let's see, what's another one? Let's do a Supreme one. Let's do Floyd Joy. That's one I sang lead with Gene Terrell.
Yeah.
And let's do a Marvin Gaye, What's Going On.
Oh, brilliant. From his concert album.
Yes.
Can I ask you about... We'll go back a little bit, just a second, Murray. With the changes within the group with the Supremes, we've seen the lineup change so many times. You've been there from the start. How did that feel, seeing all the changes happen all the time?
Well, you know, after Florence left, for me, the group was never, ever, ever, ever the same.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, when Diane left, it totally changed. Stayed on and brought the other ladies in to the group only because I just wasn't ready to stop. And so we did some of our best music, you know, with Gene Terrell after Diane left. You know, Up the Ladder to the Roof, Stone Love.
Yeah.
We had a lot of wonderful recordings. But really what happened was it was a different group. It was not the same. So I just was kind of biding my time until it was time for me to go step out on my own. The magic, even though we had great singers, I mean, when the girls came in, every one of them were great singers. You know, Jane, Sherry, they all were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was not, it was no longer the Supremes as far as I was concerned. Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to Keith Martin.
Okay, I'll send you an email saying thank you, and I will speak to you soon.
Okay.
Mary, thank you very
all
much.
Right.
On behalf of everybody, would you like just quickly say anything to the fans anything to the fans of the Supremes and Mary Wilson?
Oh, okay, sure. Why not? Well, you know, first of all, I cannot wait to get over to the UK to see all of the Supremes fans, the Mary Wilson fans, the Florence Ballard fans, the Diana Ross fans. I mean, I just cannot wait to get there, guys. Come on out, see me and the Shy Lights. I shall be in your town in 2011. Wow.
Keith Martin, Pride Radio.